Yeah, and last week's parsha, Parshas Beshalach, we spoke a lot during the week about it. Some things we didn't get to is a few minutes before Shabbos on Friday, I was talking to my wife about Shabbos Shira. She says, "Oi, we didn't give bread to the birds." As if that's also one of the Yud Gimalikrim in life, to give bread to the birds on Shabbos Shira. So I said, "Okay, so we didn't give bread. No, we have to go right before Shabbos and throw the bread out." So the truth is, there's a Magen Avraham brought down in Siman Shin Chav Dalet, as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah as well. The Mishnah Berurah writes, it's aser that the people have a minog to give out chitim. The Magen Avraham is talking about wheat. He doesn't say bread. He says people have a minog to throw out wheat on Shabbos to the birds on Shabbos. Shira, and the Magen Avraham says it's incorrect, and such behavior is not allowed al pi halach. Why, says the Magen Avraham? He says because there's a halacha based on a Gemara in Shabbos that you're not allowed to feed animals that are not yours. There's a prohibition, midrabanan, to feed animals that are not yours. This is the same mistake people make when they go to Tashlich and Rosh Hashanah and they throw loads and tons of bread into the water. That's, besides for it's a shtos because you're averus and not represented by the amount of bread you throw in. But besides for that, there's a rabbinic issue. You're not allowed to feed animals that are not yours. So if you want to do Tashlich during the week, fine. So then you can throw in all the bread you want. Putting aside maybe Baal Tashlich and other issues. But on Yom Tov proper or Shabbos, you're not allowed to feed animals that are not yours. So therefore, right to the Magen Avraham right there in Shin Chav Dalet, Mishnah Berurah brings the halacha that you're not allowed to put out the bread, or he's talking about the wheat, you're not allowed to put it out before Shabbos, on Shabbos. So you could tell me, fine. So if you put it out before Shabbos, it's okay. Now the Magen Avraham is not addressing the minog, the reason behind the minog, he doesn't say too much. Believe it or not, the Aruch HaShulchan, who by no stretch of the means was a chassidisher, he was the dying in the Vardik, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Shin Chav Dalet, he comes to defend the minog. He thinks it's okay to put out the bread on Shabbos. I ask the Aruch HaShulchan, what happened to the din? Oh, you don't feed animals, they're not yours. He says, no, because you're putting out the bread to the birds for your benefit, not for the animals' benefit. The reason why you're not allowed to feed animals that are not yours is because it's a tirch. It's a schlep, it's a bother, and you have no obligation. Says Aruch HaShulchan, I'm giving the birds for my self-interest, not for theirs. And he writes, which is the more accepted pshat, not the pshat that everyone is told in elementary school, why do we give bread to the birds? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, quoting a Medrash and Parshas Pinchas, because they sung Shira at Yom Tov. That's the more accepted pshat that no one really knows. That's brought down in more standard Paiskim. The reason why we're giving bread to the birds is because they sung Shira at Kriyas Yom Tov. So we're thanking them. Well, the other one that they tell you in elementary school is from the Chayzim Lublin. Chayzim Lublin says, because in Dasan, Avraham put out the man, Shabbos morning, to try to trick everyone, the birds came and ate the man. That's the more, I think, everyone's more familiar with. That's not the stand-up shot brought down in the Paiskim. The more stand-up shot is the way they think it's a Medrash and Pashas Pinchas that says that the birds sung Shira by the Yam. Therefore, so the Aruch HaShulchan comes to defend the minig, believe it or not. He thinks it's okay to put out the bread Shabbos morning. Okay. I think those who do it, they try to do it before Shabbos. They put it out to Erev Shabbos. It's one of the projects the kids get to do this year. The kids got gypped because they were off, so they couldn't make a whole project for Shabbos Shira. But that's an interesting halachic thing that comes out from last week's Shabbos of Shabbos Shira. Another interesting thing, we spoke about this once in Halacha Shira, just very bekitzer, is there's a big discussion amongst the Paiskim about standing for the Seres Adibris. Can you? Can't you? Should you? Shouldn't you? So we spoke about it already at length. But Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he writes a tshuva to his son of David Feinstein, where one of the reasons he justifies standing for a Seres Adibris is because we stood for the Shira. Since there was a minig of Mo Shuls yesterday, was we all stood up for Oz Yashir. So now already writes Rav Moshe, it's already somewhat accepted that there are parts of Kriyas HaTorah where people do stand as opposed to on a regular Shabbos. So therefore, it's somewhat justified the Seres Adibris. So last week's Shabbos Shira does have an important relevancy to this week standing for the Aseres HaDibros. There's a big discussion. We sought to get to it Wednesday night. We didn't get to it, so I figured I'll talk a little bit about it now. Again, there's a big shaila about what was the bracha that they made on the man. What bracha Rishayin and Achrena was recited over the man. So generally, I don't really give too much shurim on these types of topics because they're not Megei Allah HaMaisa. But a few years ago, someone called me up and said he wants to have a share Thursday night. It was about 10:30 at night with Chant and Kol, come give a share. I said, okay, if that's the setting you're ready, I know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to give a share about what bracha do you make on Mon. It was around this time of the year. I figured that's a good setting for talking about what was the bracha we shined on Mon. Yeah, it's not a Gehalach al-Maisa, what bracha we shined they made on Mon. But the question was, did they make a bracha we shined on the Mon? And if they did, what bracha was it? So possibility number one is they didn't make a bracha on the Mon. Prove otherwise. We said they did make a bracha. The counter argument to that is there's a Gemara in Brachas, the beginning of the sixth parak. The Gemara says, "Also lahenes min olam hazeh b'loy bracha." A person is not allowed to derive pleasure from this world without reciting a bracha. So how are you talking? How could it be they didn't make a bracha? So the truth is, if you, in the beginning of the sixth parak, it comes up a lot. This idea, it's before many rishonim, that even if you're going to get hanafim food, it has to have what's called a shem meichel. It has to be cold food. And therefore, if it's not cold food, even though it's enjoyable and it's tasteful and you get a lot of pleasure at it, your chazal was still never misakin brachas. So one can argue that maybe man didn't have a shame meichel, didn't have a shame, it wasn't cold food. Now there's a machoikis in Gemara Yuma about the man, was it tamay uma moshay or tamay ve'ema moshay? Which means, if I wanted it to taste like whatever I wanted it to taste like, but did it feel like that also? Did it have the consistency or even look like that as well? So if you hold tamay uma moshay, which means if I wanted to eat, taste like steak, it actually felt like steak and looked like steak, so maybe one could argue that that already makes it a shame meichel, that already makes it a food and therefore bracha would be required, possibly. There's a Zohar HaKadosh that says explicitly that they did make a bracha on the man. So that's where everyone's starting point is from the Zohar HaKadosh. It says in Zohar they made a bracha. So what was the bracha that they made? So
if you,
that was bracha Achreinu. We're going to get to that in a second. Moshe Rabbeinu was misakin the bracha of Hazon during the time of Yehuda Saman. That's correct. That's the Gemara in brachas. That's correct. So that's all regarding Brachas HaMazon. Bracha Rishayin is a Din D'Rabbanan. So yeish lo, then if that applied also. Some people say, yeah, if they bench Mestama, they made a bracha Rishayin as well. They're not necessarily tali zeh b'zeh. One is the Derabbanan and one is the Deraisa.
So you can't have a Svi'ah unless it was a
Meichel. Not necessarily. You could have been filled up. By benching doesn't say anywhere it has to be a Shein Meichel. By bracha Rishayin, if somehow Rishayinim know that. Okay. It might be telling a couple different things. There's a Rashi in the beginning of brachas, in the sixth paragraph of brachas, that might be alluding to what you're saying, that maybe for benching it also has a Shein Meichel. That's true. The Bnei Yisachar has a famous piece. It's famous because I don't know too many other of his pieces, but the Bnei Yisachar has a piece where he discusses this shayla about what bracha they made, and he quotes from the Zilit Shaiva that the Zilit Shaiva assumes that they made Hamoitzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. Hamoitzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. Now the truth is the Pasuk calls it Lechem. That's the starting point. The Torah calls the mon Lechem. So that should be the given. The question is what do you do with it afterwards? So Zilit Shaiva Tana Hamoitzi Lechem Min HaShemayim. The Bnei Yisachar quotes from Rabbi Yisrael Doiv who says, no, there was no bracha. Why no bracha? Because the purpose of a bracha is to separate the psoilas from the good, whatever, the negative from the positive. Whatever this exactly means, I don't know. And therefore he says the mon was completely good. The mon had no negative side to it. No bad byproduct. That's why the Medrash says that when they ate the mon, they never went to the bathroom. The mon was spiritual food. Spiritual food, there's no need for a bracha. And mainly he assumes there was no bracha. The Stechemid writes like that also, he assumes there was no bracha. And although there is such a Zayah, they assumed there was no such brach. There's an interesting Svarna. The Svarna writes that what Issa would there have been if they gathered the man on Shabbos? What Issa would they have transgressed? So the Svarna writes, they would have been over the Issa of Kaitzer. Picking up the man from the ground would have been like Kaitzer. So the question is, that means you're saying that the man has somehow connected to the ground. Because it can't be Kaitzer. The basic premise of Kaitzer is when you separate something from its place of growth. So if you tell me when I pick up the man from the ground, I'm over Kaitzer, it means there's a connection between the man and the ground. So, the Chayrib, according to this Svona, many Echwenim on a Taina, you'd be able to make a Hadamah on the man, because it's somehow connected to the Hadamah. If it's not connected to the Hadamah, why is it Kaitzer? If I pick up a piece of paper from the ground, I'm not over Kaitzer. Elamai, you see that it's somehow, again, how to explain that, I'm not sure, it would be Kaitzer. The David Meisharim, the Chibina Rav, who lived after the war in Eretz Yisrael, the Chibina Rav, Tainus Vakek, according to this Svona, you should make a Mighty Lechem in Aretz. If you tell me now that it's somehow connected to the ground, so you can make Hamaytzi Lechem Min Haaretz. So he held, you can make Hamaytzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Okay, so there's a bunch of different shitas out there. If they made a bracha, what was the bracha? The bigger problem is that the Gemara says in brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu was misaki in the bracha of Hazon when they ate the man. Frankly, Yosef Engel says the halach is the only bench on one of the five grains. Man wasn't one of the five grains. So if man wasn't one of the five grains, how can Moshe Rabbeinu get up and say he was misaki in the bracha of benching? It doesn't fit the criteria for benching. So Yosef Engel wants to say, based on the Gemara and Yuma, if you hold Tamay Uma Moshoy, if you hold that Mamash, it didn't just taste like bread, it looked like bread, it smelled like bread, Memela, you can justify it being one of the Chameshis Minidog. To which the Achreinim will talk about, Menchos Ashrei has a big piece about this in Sefer Bamidbar, where could you use the mon for matzah? Would a person be able to use the mon to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? So L'chayrit should be telling this question. It's not one of the five grains. It's a non-existent grain, right? So the question is, if you hold Tamu Yamash like Ibi Yosef Engel, so then maybe, yeah. There's a Ritvon Kedushin Mufurish that says a person would not be able to use the mon for matzah because it's not one of the five grains. So then L'chayrit's Hadrakosh L'duchta, so how can you justify it to benching? The Chidah has a whole different problem. The Chidah has a problem of how is Klal Yisrael allowed to be Nena for Maisa Nisim? We know that there's a klal that you don't want to be nena for Maisa Nisim. Reb Chaim talks about it by Chanukah, about making brachas on Maisa Nisim. So how did the whole mon experience take place? So the Chidah says, this was an exception. There's a Kosh Baruch who said, this is the way I'm doing it. This is like the new teva. So therefore, Klal Yisrael was allowed to do it. There's a shaila. Basha Weiss talks about it. Yosef Engel talk about it. Many Achrayim talk about it. Let's say you wanted the mon to taste like Macholas Asuris. Did that work also? Let's say you missed the cheeseburger experience. So you said you want the mon to taste like a cheeseburger. Would that work or not? That was a shaila and Achrayim. They talk about whether or not the mon had that ability or not. We find the whole idea of the mon, the lesson of the mon, is really the realization that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all of us. And it's not necessarily about how much we do or how little we do, but Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best for us, and Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us accordingly. The Rambam writes that after Bimayis HaMashiach, no one's going to have to work anymore, and all our finances will be provided by somewhere else. We won't have to worry about money, we won't have to work so hard, we won't have to be so busy. Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide for us. That was really the lesson of the mon, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the mon to the Bnei Yisrael. Said, listen, I can sustain you in the desert. You don't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. I can, and that's really true all the time. Because Baruch Hu sustains us. We have to do our establish. We have to do our part to try as much as we can in this world. But the lesson of the mon, although it was a short lived experience, it's a lesson for all of us. That Hashem Baruch Hu, in His own way, and again, I think they quote this from Shem Chaim Salvechik. Chaim Salvechik never understood why people need to learn Moshe Svarim. Said if every person just broke down their life from earlier stages in their life, in early years, and they just reviewed and played back stories that happened. It's everyone's life is a Musa Sefer. We all see in our own life Yad Hashem all the time. We see how Hashem gives us this and takes away this and makes this happen for us. Chaim says, you don't understand why people need to learn a standard Sefer. Just go back, review the last 25 years of your life, and you'll see a Musa Sefer right there. You'll say, how I was in despair, and Akash Baruch Hu helped me, and I needed this, and Akash Baruch Hu helped me. So therefore, that's really the lesson of the month, although we don't have mon today. The lesson is that Kosh Baruch Hu provides for us in many different ways, in funny ways sometimes. But that was really the lesson that Bnei Yisrael learned in the Midbar as the Hakdama to becoming Am Yisrael, to becoming the chosen special relationship with Kosh Baruch Hu. You have to realize that Kosh Baruch Hu provides for us in various situations. At the end of the parasha, we get to the story of Amalek. And like much in Klai Yisrael's history, once we finally get some freedom, right away we get attacked. That's usually what happens to us. And Klai Yisrael gets attacked by Amalek. My Rosh Hashiva, B'Zalag Epstein, Zatzal, used to give a shmooze at parlor meetings. We used to ask the following question. He said, he doesn't understand. What did Amalek not like about us at this time in history? The Sephardim didn't like about us. We didn't even have that many mitzvahs. It wasn't like we had 613 mitzvahs, and you know, we were a whole different nation. We had a few mitzvahs. We had Shabbos, and we had Kibbutz Avim. What was he so upset about? What did he not like about us? How different were we from other people? So the truth is, the kasha really is, we spoke about this also once before, Stamazay, why did Amalek wait till now? You know, so now you waited to attack. You know, you could have got us before we went into Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, why now? So the Medrash says, because Amalek figured, he's also an enikel of Avraham Avinu. And he figured that if Bnei Yisrael is not going to suffer it, there all the time that Avraham Avinu's family needs to suffer, it's going to be given to someone else in Avraham Avinu's family. He's going to have to suffer. So if it let all the suffering be over with, and now we can start to attack. So Reb Zalig said over at a parlor meeting, he said, what Amalek didn't like about the Jewish people is the way they behaved. The way they acted, kindness. Again, Klai Yisrael wasn't Ba'achtos yet, but just the way Klai Yisrael acted was with respect and in a dignified way. They act like mention. That's what bothered Amalek. Amalek couldn't stand the idea that the Jewish people acted in a little bit of a higher of level of respect and dignity than the people around him. So he used to say over in Shmuzim, he used to say that to him, when people give him compliments about his Talmidim, it's a bigger compliment to hear that they act with respect and they're nice and they're Ba'kavadik than that they know how to learn. So that meant more to him. He felt more pride if people say, oh, I saw your Talmidim in the street and they're behaving and they're respectful and they're not screaming and not yelling, and, you know, the shirts are tucked in, whatever else. That was to him was much more of a pride, he said, than it was to say that, you know, they consider a alum de shashir, whatever it is. So he used to say that was what Amalek didn't like about Klai Yisrael. The Klai Yisrael was we were respectful. We talked differently. Again, you walk in the streets today, you see it all the time. Goyim, you see the way they talk to the mothers, the mothers talk to the kids, they curse at each other. It's unbelievable. As once you walk in the street, a mother's yelling at a six-year-old kid, cursing him with kol dover rasha v'olam. You think, you know, and then you get a tiny when the kid curses. What do you want the kid to do? You're screaming and yelling at him in curse words. Then if you curse back, oh, you're in trouble. It doesn't make any sense. So we're not really doing a justice to our children over here. And therefore, that was what Amalek didn't like about Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael, we live differently, we have different lives, we talk differently, we act differently, we behave differently. And that's why Amalek didn't like us, and that's why he attacked us. In the beginning of Parshas Yisrael, just to try to get ahead of the Parsha, usually doesn't happen that way. In the beginning of the Parsha, Torah tells about Avraham Avinu, about Moshe Rabbeinu's children. And one son's name is Gershon, one son's name is Eliezer. So the Mefarshim ask, and we'll leave off with the Kasha, maybe we'll talk about it next week, is that it's out of order. If Moshe Rabbeinu should have named his first son Eliezer and his second son Gershom, because what happened first? First it was Elikei Ozri. First he got saved from Cherev Paray, And then he moved to Midian and had a family. Then he became a Ger Yisrael Eretz Nachriya. So if Moshe Rabbeinu is going to name his children to give Hakaras HaToiv and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on being saving, he should have first named his first son Eliezer and his second son Gershom. Why is it that he names his first son Gershom and his second son Eliezer? This is a Gevaldik Akasha that the Achreinim ask. Why exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu change the order? If we don't talk about it next week, it's definitely an interesting Akasha to think about over the week. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu change the order of naming his sons if the whole purpose... That's the big assumption, that the whole purpose was just to commemorate or to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should have done it in the reverse order. Yeah, I do. I don't want to think I don't have one. No, I do have an answer.
You need a cliffhanger.
No, I do.
Otherwise, you didn't come back next.
No, I do have an answer. I think the answer is possible. The answer is because to him, to Moshe Rabbeinu, the biggest lesson that he lived his entire life was Ger Yisrael Eretz Nachriya. The biggest problem, the people can remember things, but if they get complacent, it's over. Moshe Rabbeinu remembered, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me Mecher Paro. That was a big event in his life. But Ger HaYisrael Eretz Nachriya was Moshe Rabbeinu's mantra throughout life. I don't belong here. I'm not staying here. This is not where I want to be. This is not where I want to stay. This is just a transient experience. So therefore, that was the first thing he had to remind himself. Ger HaYisrael Eretz Nachriya. This is Aleph Beis. This is what I got to live with every day of my life. Ger HaYisrael Eretz Nachriya. Yeah, of course, I remember because Baruch Hu did Nisim for me, no question. But to Moshe Rabbeinu, this was it. This is the lesson that he lived with every day of his life was Ger HaYisrael Eretz Nachriya. I want to get out of here. I don't want to stay here. I want to go somewhere else. This is not my final resting place. It's not where I want to live. And this is really what we talked about Makas Choshech, where the Bnei Yisrael had trouble with this Midah. And even in Kriyas Yamsov, they had trouble with this Midah. This is a reoccurring Midah that Klal Yisrael sometimes needs chizik on. We're guilty as this today as any other generation of complacency. It's very gishmak. I'm very happy here, and everything is good here. Don't bother me. Don't make me move, and don't tell me I have to go somewhere else. Gera Yisrael Eretz Nachriya. Moshe Rabbeinu lived with that his entire life, and that's why he named his first son that, to be able to remind himself every day about that. That's important. That how important that really is. Okay, we're holding over here in the Gemara, and the Gemara over here is trying to figure out the Mishnah.
Yeah,
we had a Mishnah over here where the Mishnah talks about a case of Karev Loi and Karev Lo. You throw a get or a kedushin closer to him, closer to her. So there's two machlokes in the Gemara at this moment, at least. But then we'll see. There's a third way of learning the Gemara, or possibly learning the Gemara, that either it means within her Dalet Amos or it means within her Kuf Amos, with her ability to be able to watch or guard the get. So the Gemara said that if they're both able to guard the get, that's Sufik Kerushin. If he's able to guard it, ain't a Megureshes, she's able to guard it, Megureshes. So Tosfos, we spoke about this at length last week, I just want to bring it up for one more Nekuda. Tosfos asked the following question. The Gemara said neither of them are able to watch it, that's Suffolk Gerish. So for Tosfos, what are you talking about? If neither of them are watching the get, so then no one's divorced. If the Sibas HaGerishin is coming from the fact that you're guarding it, and you're telling me that neither of them are guarding it, so then there's no divorce. Why is it a Suffolk Gerish? So Tosfos learns, number one, Pirish, ain't you chayim l'shomer kol echad levadai. It doesn't mean neither of them can watch it. It means neither of them can watch it independently. Elo shneihem yachad. They each need the other to be able to guard the get. Neither a husband nor wife is in the control of the get independently, exclusively. They need to watch it with someone else. So it says, but if neither of them can watch it, pshita, the Edom Gresh is klal. Of course it's not a divorce. Because again, if the whole divorce is based on the fact that I'm able to guard it, if no one's guarding it, there's no divorce. So we spoke about this Tosfos heavily last week, and we mentioned the kasha of the Rashba. The Rashba had a kasha that if each one needs the other, then it should be a problem of Ogid Gabe. That means the husband is still connected to the get, it should be a problem. Now we stopped short, there's another kasha of the Rashba. The Rashba has a second kasha. Frek the Rashba, he says, 1 second. If you're telling me that this is what the Mishnah means, now there's another phrase in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Shneim Yecholim L'Shamrei. The Mishnah said, if they both could watch it, or neither of could watch it, that's Suffolk Gerush. So asks the Rashba, according to Tosfos, if Shneim Ein Yecholim L'Shamer means neither of them can watch it independently. So what does Shneim Yecholim L'Shamer mean? It means each one can do it independently. Yeah. So frag the Rashba, if that's the way you read the Gemara, so why is that a suffocation? If each one can watch it independently, that's beautiful. Why is that not the greatest level of Gerushin? Why is that suffic? The way the Gemara reads is if they're both able to watch it, or neither is able to watch it, suffic Gerushin. Asks the Rashba, why suffic Gerushin? If you're reading the words now, that Shneim Ein Yecholim means neither of them could do it independently, so then you have to read those same words into the beginning of the Mishnah. Shneim Yecholim L'Shamra means they're both able to watch it independently. So why is it only a suffic Gerushin? Fine. Yeah, fine, but that's the Rashba already asked that. This is a new question the Rashba is asking.
I understand, but even in this case, it's still like a
Gabbai. Yeah, but then the Rashba is asking the same question twice. And then the Rashba has two separate questions. First question is Zagadabe. Second question is, what's the Mishnah? Which means this is an independent question. Now, what's the independent question? He's assuming if each one can watch it independently, that alone should be enough to make it a gift. So you're suggesting, what I think you're answering is similar to what Rosh Hashanah is going to say in a second. That at the end of the day, it is, at the end of the day, both parties are involved. So both parties involved, you have a problem. Okay, good. So the Rosh Hashanah answers over here, number two, says the Rosh Hashanah, he quotes the Rajbo, answers the Rosh Hashanah, the Rajbo's kash. Kibin shashmira oisir rishus, kamishakasav el minei b'shem haran, each party that's able to watch it becomes a shtickle bailam. And the area that I can guard becomes my area. Deva says, Rosh Hashanah, so if each one could guard it, so that means each one has a little bit of a tfisa in the rishos. It means each one of us has a siba that this area is now viewed mine. Because I can guard it. Yes, you can guard it also. So you have a reason this area is yours, and I have a reason why this area is mine. Says the Rosh Hashanah, what does that make it? That makes it a shutzis. That makes it migareshes. Therefore, says Rosh Hashanah, it's pashit. If you understand the lumnus of Yachar L'Shomrei means that the fact that I'm able to guard a certain area, that gives me a certain bailus in the area. So if we both can do it, that means we both have bailus in the area.
If understand how
Kuf Amos works. 100%. If you were to learn Kuf Amos that's working with some form of a Gittin type of din in the Sina, so then yeah, one could argue over here, what rights, where does the husband come in? Now, we're assuming now that the way Kuf Amo works is that in any area that you're in control, that's a Siba, why this area should be deemed yours. So therefore, says the Rosh Hashanah, if that's the case, so then they both own the area. They're both in the area, it's Migreshes, Vein Migreshes. That's the way the Rosh Hashanah answers this kash. The other kash that we need to talk about from the last sugya is, if you remember, we had a Tosfos. Tosfos had a kasha. Why is there ever a din of Safek Gerushin in our Gemara? Now we have a question. Closer to him, closer to her. So the Gemara says, oh, Safek? She's migreshes and migreshes. For Ektaisis, what happened to Chazaka? Why don't we roll the card of Cheskes Eishes and say, well, yesterday she was divorced, yesterday she was married, so today she's married. We're not sure today if she got divorced, so Chazaka says whatever she was yesterday is what she is today. So Taisis answers, no, you can't do that, because it's Treu Treu. The Gemara says, Yavam is Treu Treu, you don't use Chazaka. Fine. That's very nice if you hold like Rabba and Rabbi Yosef that we're talking about Treu Treu. What about according to Rabbi Yochanan? According to Bi'echel, what's mechza mechza? Mechza mechza means that we're both able to watch the area, or neither of us are able to watch the area. Fine. It's not a trade din. So if it's not a trade, according to this pshat of Bi'echel, how do you go back to answer Taisvis' kasha? Why don't you use Cheskes Eishes Ish over here? Bishlama in Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, I couldn't use Cheskes Eishes Ish because I had Treu Treu. But I don't have Treu Treu according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Shaila is we're both guarding it and that's where we both have rights to it. So why don't we go back to the old rule of Cheskes Eishes Ish? That's the kasha that one has to ask according to Rabbi Yochanan.
What is enough to be, if we say Suffolk Migureshes versus she's Cheskes Eishes Ish, are there any practical?
Yeah.
She's always going to go Lachumrah.
No, she's Eishes Ish. She's not even, if her husband were to die tomorrow, she'd be allowed to marry a Kohen. So if her husband dies tomorrow, she can't marry a Kohen. So it really hurts her more than anything. So the Shmuel's Gittin, he says, I don't understand. Why don't you have to go back to the Tosfos' Kasha? Why don't you have to ask yourself, why can't you use Cheskes Eishes Ish? So he says, it's not a Kasha. Based on the Rosh Hashanah we just learned 2 minutes ago. Why? So if you look at the middle of the piece, he writes, "V'tzarich loymel amavoy b'Rosh Hashanah number 3." It says, "Based on the Rosh Hashanah, it's not a kasha." Why? Because how's the Rosh Hashanah learn the Gemara? The Rosh Hashanah learns it's not a suffix of who owns it. The Pshat is they both own it. It's a different type of suffix. We mentioned this last week from Rebbe Kiva Eger and the Marsha, not like the Chazanish. The Chazanish learned that the suffix over here is, well, both of them can guard it. So the question is, who's the real guardian? We're not sure. The Rosh Hashanah and the Marsha and the B'Kivega all learn differently. They learn when two people are doing the exact same action and each one gives them a right, they both have bailus. It's not a suffix. The suffix is not who's the stronger owner, who's the real owner. The suffix is they're both. What am I supposed to do in a situation when I have two equal owners? Therefore, Zaktim, in that case, when you have a suffix, it's not a sveika d'dina. It's not a suffix, I don't know what to do. I don't know if something fell into a pot. I don't know who came. It's not a question of, I know exactly what happened. I know they both came and they both injected into this area their bailus. I know that. That's a fact. That's not the question. The question is, what do I do now when I have two people together owning an area? So he writes at the end, he says, such a case, that's called v'havi sveika d'dina. That's a halachic quandary. In this such a case, v'loy makim na chazaka, we don't use chazaka, kim v'loy b'kunch ta sveikas.
So the way we
right, exactly. It. The way we're learning it now, and exactly. Kvega writes it almost beforeish. He says this is a case of a not. We don't know what happened. We know exactly what happened. It's a vaday suffigation. Exactly. It's not a suffix because we don't know what else to do. It's because we have two conflicting dinim going together in the same time. Therefore, says the Sefer Shmuel's Gittin, he says, Lefizeh, that's the Tosfos versus Kasha. It's not a stam suffix who came first, or who's the real Bailam, like the Chazon Ish would learn. It's a suffix Dedina. We don't know what to do when you have two people owning one area. Suffix Dedina, he says, and that's like, he quotes a Kunchta Sveikis. In such a case, you don't use Cheskas Eishish. Okay, that was really...
The
Chazon Ish still have this Kasha, right. I'm not sure how he's going to get around that. According to the Chazon Ish, it's not a suffix. It is a suffix of who came first, then Lachari Yishav Tais versus Kasha. Yeah, and Echanami. I don't think the Chazanish addresses it. In that piece, he does not discuss this Tais, but Lachari, that should be a Kasha. So back to the Mishnah for a second, and we'll see why this is relevant to our Sugi in a second. We forget that when the Gemara talked about this Karev Loi Karev Lo thing, it talked about it for Kedushin, Gerushin, and a Choyf. Let's just read the Mishnah one more time in number four. This is the Mishnah Daf Ayin Ches. The Mishnah says, V'chein Nanyin HaChoyf, Oymel Loi Bal Choyvoi, Zroik Li Choyvi, the Zarkuloi, let's say the Malva says to the Levi, listen, you owe me money. Throw me the money that you owe me. He throws it to him. So it depends. Karev la Malva. If the money is closer to the Malva, then Zeicha Malva. And the Malva Zeicha. Before we go right, I forgot that the Chayra, the Rajba's Kasha is not a Kasha. If you remember the Ritzvah from last week, we had a Ritzvah from last week. The Ritzvah learned that when they're both able to guard it, then the question is that Chazal might have pulled the rights to use Kofama. Why? The Ritzvah had a whole shtickle Torah that Chazal were afraid that because they're both involved, although technically he has no real power, because Chazal were Mesakin, it was just only to her, not to him. But we're afraid because he's able to physically show Bailas, maybe people would confuse it and think that he's involved also. And therefore the Ritzvah said that's why we pulled it whenever they're both able to do it. So the Chayr, according to that Ritzvah, that would answer up the Rajbu's Kasha. What was the Rajbu's Kasha? If each one can do it independently, why is it suffering? The answer is because, yeah, since he could also do it, it gives off the wrong impression to people that he's involved, and we don't want people thinking that, and therefore Chazal might have pulled back the regular Gershon and gave it a status of Safi Gershon. So based on the Ritzvah from last week, it would answer up the Rajbu's Kasha. Okay. Now the Mishnah says over here, closer to him, closer to the Malva, Zoyche HaMalva. The Malva Zoyche in it. Karev Leloiv, if it's closer to the Leloiv, HaLeloiv Chayiv, then the Leloiv is Chayiv. Mechzal Mechza, whatever that means, again, they'll have to plug it in. Mechzal Mechza, according to the first two Pshatim in the Gemara, is either going to mean Trey or Trey. Two conflicting reports from the Edim, or Mechza Mechza, according to Bi'echan, is going to mean a case where they're both able to guard the money. Fine. Mechza Mechza, Shneim Yachloik, they divide the money. Now, okay, yeah, good. Go on, get to that.
And also, I understand, what's the whole opinion that Chov is Mominus versus here is Isur?
Okay, good. So this is all going to be very much dependent upon how you learned Gittin and Kedushin. If you learn Gittin and Kedushin with Dalar Amos, so then fine. Dalar Amos maybe works for Mitzio, or maybe works for Chayv also. If you work in Rabbi Yochanan's world, it's a little bit more complicated. Because in Rabbi Yochanan's world...
There's no Isur Mechov. Just give the money back and that's it. There's no question suffocation. You see, should
but it's suffocating Mominus. You have Mominus suff. You have Mominus make this.
Yeah, but you can always give it back.
But the question is, let's say the money's not here anymore. The money's not here. The money's Nevad. And now we're having a Mominus argument. I say I paid you. You say you never paid me.
So if a guy ran across and stole the money.
Right, it was, we'll see in a second. So Machloikis, we shine him. What exactly is the case over here? Well, what's the whole deal? If there's money here, he'll pick up the money, do it again. Well, what's the ganze discussion? So Rashi learns over here, number five. So Rashi, Omar loy malva loy v'zorekli chayvi b'rishas rabim v'zorku loy v'avad. So Rashi learns the money got lost. So now there's a chayish mishpat question. Did I pay you or didn't I pay you? The loyva claims I threw it into your dalaramis and I'm done with you. The malva says, no, you didn't. It wasn't in my dalaramis, so you still owe me the money. Chayish mishpat question. So what would it didn't be? So according to the Mishnah, yechloiku, the loyva would have to pay half of the chayv and the other half he'd be exempt on. That's the way Rashi learns the Mishnah.
Would this only be a case if it's Amar Lo Bal Chol Lo Zerot, like if he didn't tell him to throw it?
So according to Rashi, there's no major background to the story over here besides for the fact that he's deciding to pay up the chayv now. Now, the fact that he said to him is really irrelevant. We'll see in a second, the Mordechai is a different way of learning the Gemara where there's more to the storyline. What do you mean? What do you think should happen? Right, so here's where we're going to get ourselves into a little bit of Chayshim Mishpat discussion, not too much, I hope, about, there's Machloikis in the Gemara in Baba Kama, in Mishnah, about Sumchas and the Rabbanan. Whenever you have a question of, I come to you and I say, you owe me money. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. There's more Bar Yishem issues over there, but I deny the claim, or I claim I paid you back. So what happens now? So the Sumchas says, call a moment, I'm out of Sumchas is of the opinion, whenever there's a question, you split. A safe bet, everyone goes 50-50. The Tanakhama says, no, you want to get money out of me, prove it. So the Chayr over here, why can't the Leiva say to the Malva, what do you mean, I have to split? Why do I have to pay anything? I claim I paid you, I'm done with you. You claim I didn't, prove it. You have to prove it to me that the money wasn't closer to you.
It's a different kind of suffering.
Why?
It's not a suffix in the Metzias.
Okay. So we're going to get to hopefully all these svaras and see how they all play out. But that's what Rashi learned the Gemara. Rashi learned the Gemara that the case is where the money's gone and the Malva and Loiva are fighting. Who really got it? The Loiva says, it was closer to you, so I'm done. The Malva says, no way, it was closer to you, I never got it. So the Mishnah says they split it. Fine. Comes along the Mordechai, and the Mordechai doesn't like Rashi's patent the Gemara. And the Mordechai says like this, Masha Pirish Rashi Bizarkle Vavar Achov Linira. Frank the Mordechai, the question that many of you are asking, is I don't understand, if you learn like Rashi, so now the money's gone. So now the Malva comes to the Loiva and says, you owe me the $100 loan. The Loiva says, what are you talking about? I paid you already. I threw it within your dollar, and I'm done. The Malva says, no, never happened. So now the Malva is trying to get money out of the Loiva. So we have a rule. You want to get money out of someone, Olav L'Havi Raya. You prove that I owe you the money. I claim I did it, so you have to prove it. Now, there's one element over here that's different. The difference over here is there's a pre-existing hischayvus. And if I walk over to you and I say you owe me money, then we say I might smich over you have no shaykhus over here. The malva does have a shtick of a tvi over here because there was a loan on the books that says the loiva owed the malva. Now the loiva is arguing I took off that hischayvus by making a peroin. Oh, that's what we're debating. We're debating whether that peroin took place. So it's not exactly a typical case of a mitzvah mechal v'varayah. A regular case of a mitzvah mechal v'varayah, I walk over to a person I have no connection to, no pre-existing relationship, I say, you know what? Last year you loaned me $100, pay me up. The guy said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never met you before, I don't know who you are. So if I want to get money out of you, I got to prove it. So over here, the loiva says to the malva, I agree I owed you money. I'm asking there was a pre-existing eschayvus. I'm just saying I paid it up because I threw the money closer to you. On that, says the Mordechai, if that would be the case like Rashi, it's not true. The Loiva wouldn't have to split. The Loiva would be completely potter. You, the Malva, want to get money out of the Loiva's pocket? Got to prove it. You can't prove it, so you lose. So Frank, the Mordechai...
The Malva has a star. Right?
I was going to say the same thing.
Well, that's...
It's on the receipt.
No, it's on the bird
proof. Oh, okay. That's what we're going to have to see, because over here it's a little different. Because over there was a Vada Hischayv is pre-existing. That's why it's a little different. Okay, we're going to get to
it. Did they also learn that it would be Trey's Dinner Chayv too?
It would be Talay the Machlokes Amarayim, and I learned the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it wouldn't be Trey. According to Rabbi, it would be Trey.
And Trey works the same thing by Momenus.
Well, we're going to get to that, and we'll hopefully get to that. Kivega has a cash, so hopefully we'll get to that today. Okay. We'll see if it works the same.
Wouldn't we have the same Shaila if one of them died?
What happens if one of them died? Why would that change things? So then you have Yorshim. You do it with Yorshim. His chayvus won't go away. His chayvus would still be there. Well, we'll see in a second.
That could be a scenario also, not just Avad.
But it would still be Maitzim Echavel V'Raya. You want to get money out of the Yorshim, all of Lavi Raya. You'd have the same problem. Avad is just, we'll see in a second why the Mordechai has his own shot and why it fixes this problem. But that case would have the same issue of being Maitzim Echavel V'Raya. So the Mordechai comes up with this whole new creative shot in the Gemara. He writes like this, V'nira ki the pirish ri, quotes it ri, shepirish ha-malva be'en. The money's here. The money's sitting on the floor. No question. V'achi pirushis, and then what's the whole discussion? Karev le-malva ha-loiva oma lo-hichze li, v'efer l'cha le-zman. Ki zman lo-hi higia adayin. What happened was is that the loan was due at the end of the month. And the loiva had a couple extra dollars. He said, let me pay it up now. And then what happened was, after that, he realized, you know, bad idea. I still need the money. That was a bad idea. I want to take back the payment that I made early. So now the question is, well, where's the money? If the money already hit the malva, it's too late. You already made the payment. You can't renege on the deal. But if it's still closer to me, I can always take the money back. So we're not talking about taking money out of anyone's pockets. There's no question of ripping the money out of someone's pocket and making it pay. The question is, the money's sitting right in front of us. We know where the money is. The question is, what's the status of the money? Therefore, in such a case, we're going to say Yachloik. That's the way the Mordechai learned the Gemara.
But again, there's a Chazaka that
So the cash is, well, over here, one second. Why don't you use Cheskes Mari Kama? Yeah. Right, why don't you say over here, we don't know who owns this money. Now the suffix is on the money. Does the money belong to the original laver, or did the money transfer to the malva? So there's another principle called Cheskes Mari Kama. Why don't you look at the money? Who was the last owner of the money? That was the laver. The last owner of the money was the laver, so the ownership continues to be by Mari Kama.
Yeah, but he did something, so you can't say that.
So that's a shaila. So the way Achrayim want to get around it...
The achloka meaning if it's $100, so I'm entitled to $50 back, and you pay $50.
That's right.
Then I only owe you another $50.
Correct. That's correct. That means we view it as if $50 were already paid towards the chayv. Right.
Yeah, so that what I was saying is that Mori Kama is when there's nothing done. Here there was an action done.
And Achrami. So the question
right,
is...
So therefore, what
there's a machloikis achroinim, rishoinim, when you have a suffix Mori Kama, what do you do? This is really what this is over here. There's a suffix Mori Kama. The suffix is who is the original owner. I don't know who the owner is now. The owner could have been transferred to the malva. They could have retained as the loiva. We don't know. So why don't you just use Cheskes Mori Kama? So achroinim say this is goof for why Rashi didn't learn like the Mordechai. Because if you're going to learn like the Mordechai, it's not any better. Now, how is Rashi going to get around Moitz Mechel V'Raya? We have to see also. But Achrayim point out the reason why Rashi didn't learn like the Mordechai, because if you learn like the Mordechai, you're still getting yourself into trouble. Because then you have to deal with Cheskas and Marikama. Then why don't you just say to yourself, one second, if the Loiva was the owner yesterday of the money, so then the Loiva, when it comes into question, the Loiva retains ownership, Cheskas and Marikama. So therefore, that's why some people don't want to learn like the Mordechai, instead they'll learn like Rashi. But this is the way the Mordechai learns the Gemara. Just in the Mishnah, if you go back to the Mishnah for a second, the reading of the Mishnah is somewhat of a giveaway to how the Mishnah reads. Again, the Mishnah says, Karev lemalve, zoiche hamalve. The malve is zoiche. What does that mean, the malve is zoiche? It means the malve wins. What does it mean for the malve to win? According to Rashi, the malve doesn't want to win. Winning here means losing. If the malve wins, according to Rashi, it means the money was in his rishos, and now the money's lost, the malve is losing. So if the Mishnah reads zoicha karev lemalve zoicha hamalve, the malve is victorious, the chayr that only makes sense according to the Mordechai. According to the Mordechai, then it's true. It's closer to the malve is zoicha, he now owns it, now the levi can't renege. So the malve is the winner, so to say. The chayr, according to Rashi, you're going to have to re-garish the Mishnah. You're going to have to write karev
lemalve. The zoicha goes on the reverse. The zoicha is on the
lova. No, but that's not what the Mishnah says. You're going to have to have a different girsa. According to Rashi, you'll have to have a girsa karev lemalve zoicha. Right, not zoicha hamalve. It's got to be zoicha aloive. You have to have a different girsa in the Mishnah, which we shouldn't have. I'm not saying it's a kash. I'm just pointing out that the girsa, the way we have it, is more meduik according to the Mordechai. Okay, so this is the machloekish we're showing him and how to learn the Mishnah of the case of choif. The reason why this machloekish we're showing him is relevant for us right now is because of a taisus that we have to talk about right now in our Gemara. Taisus by us on the fine ches, tiver maschal mechza mechza yishnai mechal, who asks the following kash. He basically asks the Mordechai's kasha. Taisus wants to know, why is it true by Mominus? Again, the Mishnah says, by Choyiv Yachloik, Frek Taisus, why? What happened to HaMaitse Mechaveh Ol Avaraya? The Mordechai's kasha. It says, Taisus, Hocha Lo Yishayach Loi Mehamaitse Mechaveh Ol Avaraya, De Ein Kan Sofik. Says Taisus, no Sofik over here. What he does, no Sofik. Nothing fancy going on over here. Says, don't ask me such lumdish kashas about HaMaitse Mechaveh Ol Avaraya. That's only when you have a Sofik. There's no Sofik over here. What is Taisus supposed to mean by this? There's no suffix. So the Marsha writes right away, number 8, Dr. Marsha, Reb Yochanan, says the Marsha that Taisus' whole kasha was in Reb Yochanan's world. What was Reb Yochanan's world? Reb Yochanan's world was Shnei Michayim Lushamah, Shnei Enichayim Lushamah. They either both could watch it, or neither of them could watch it, but they're involved. So then says, Taisus has a kasha, one second. If we're both involved in the area, and therefore we both watched it together, and now it's a suffix on who owns the money, why is he achloiku? What happened to Amitz Mechav Avaraya? Says the Marsha, according to Bechon, that's not a kasha. The Muki, Masis, the Mechza, Mechza, the Hainu, Bishnei, Mechum, Mishomer, Nicha. It's not a kasha. The Lav Mishom Sveiku, the achloiku. We're not dividing the money because we're not sure what to do. Ela, the Kushtahu came, the Huber Shoshneim. Almost like we keep on saying, like the Rishash, and they're saying Mashon, and Kivega. The reason why it's split is not because we don't know what to do with the money, therefore for compromise purposes we split it. It's because they both have active reasons to why they own this area. According to Reb Yochanan, Shnei Michal Mishamra just means they both have bailus in this area. So what do you do when two people have bailus? Each person walks away with something, so you split it. So if it says the Marsha, that's what Taisus means. The Enkan Safi means according to Reb Yochanan. It's not a question of we don't know what to do with the money, therefore we split it to make everyone happy. It's not a Safi because they both own it. When two people own something, that's why you do Yachloiku. That's not a Kasha of Amaitse Mechavel of Araya. We both own it. I can't prove more than you're going to prove that we both own it. Therefore, it's Yachloiku. Fine. So that's how you learn Taisus. The way you're supposed to learn this one line of Taisus is the Enkan Safi means we're going according to Reb Yochanan.
Great. Absence of ability for somebody to bring a riot.
There's nothing to bring a riot to. Over here, because over here we both own it. We both, the money was deposited into an area where we both own it.
So the money exists.
So it's not a suffix. We'll see exactly where the money is in a second. But according to Reb Yochanan, this is a chatzar hashotun. So there's nothing to bring a riot to.
But there's other restrictions in like you have with there's no agud gabei.
Right.
So once it hits something that the malva even owns part of, why didn't the debt get paid?
It did. It got partially paid because it was a partial deposit. I mean, the money was paid to an area that was owned by me and by him. So what do you do when money falls to an area that's owned by two people? You split it. So whatever the money in question is, it's what?
A desire by the Lova to pay it back.
Well, again, we don't yet know, which we'll have to hold off in a second, what exactly is the case. Is he going like the Mordechai? Is he going like Rashi? We don't know that yet. We just know that in the general idea, the way the Mashah is setting it up, is according to Rabbi Yochanan, this is a joint area. Joint areas, you do Yachalik one. That's everyone agrees on. If that's, for example, me and a partner own a piece of real estate, and an Aveda falls in, who's going to be Kaina? We're going to split it. What do you mean? Prove what? Prove that you both own the area? We know you both own the area. I don't need to prove that. So Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing. This is a joint area, because since you both can watch it, it becomes a joint area. Again, putting aside the Chazon Ish's law on this for a second, that it's not a joint, it's one really owns it, we just don't know who does. Taisus is the way the Mashal is learning it, it's almost a kash on the Chazon Ish, where Taisus is learning according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not a joint. We know exactly. It's not a question. We know exactly. You both own it. You both own it. You split it. Fine. So the Mashal says Taisus is good. There's one problem. Fact the Mashal, 1 second. That's only half of the equation. There's another pshat in the Gemara. Rabbi Rabbi Yosef learned the Gemara is talking about Trey. That's a real suffix, Trey, right? Two Adim say it was closer to you, two Adim say it was closer to me. That's a straight up suffix. In that case, there should be a much Michael Varaya. Taisus doesn't answer that kash. So fact the Mashal. Avala Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, the Mukila betray Kiti Adim. Sveika Mamishu. In fact, Mashiach, that's a legitimate suffix. That you can't get more suffix than that. It's such a good suffix where the Gemara says in Yevamis, it's such a good suffix you can't even use chazakas anymore because treu trei is such a high level of chazaka. So, frekt Marsha, what do you do then? V'nei ma'amotz mechav araya. He says v'doichik kulo ok me'masisi kesomchas. It's a big akimta to say the Mishnah is going according to somchas that holds mamar amot b'suffik cholkin. And you don't say ma'amotz mechav araya. That's a doichik similar to the Mordechai's kasha. So therefore, says the Masha, how are you going to make the Mishnah read?
Maybe since we each have two Adim, and they each an Adim at the highest level of Raya, they each did bring a Raya. Each of them have a Raya to their kids.
Yeah, but again,
so what are you going to do?
So then Cholkin. So
well, you can't say what's the level of Raya. What do you want? What more do you want this guy to do? He brought
Adim. Okay. So what should the Dim be? Practically, what should the Dim be?
Now locally, each have Adim that say it's theirs. You don't know what to do. Well, either Hunat that you have a Leo, or split it. I mean,
okay. So we're going to see in a second, hopefully, that that's part of the discussion. What hechacha do we have from each trei trei? What does that give us? And how much information do we have from the trei trei? That's what we had before when trei trei directs the rabbanon. Yeah, we're gonna have to go down that road one more time. So the Mashal comes up with a gevaldic answer. Says the Mashal, the yesh li yashiv, the rabbi of Rabbi Yosef like pirsha masisim benevet kepirsha Rashi. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef won't learn the Mishnah like Rashi. Again, Rashi learned the Mishnah, the money was lost, and then we get ourselves involved in Hamayitz Mechav Avarai Vishus. If you learn like the Mordechai, everything's peachy rosy. You learn like the Mordechai, nothing's lost, no Hamayitz Mechav Avarai, no problems. So it says the Mashal Gishmak, that Rab and Rabbi Yosef learned the Mishnah like the Mordechai, that the money is be'en. The money is be'en, there's no question of Hamayitz Mechav Avarai. Rabbi Yochanan, he learned the Mishnah creatively, he learned the Mishnah was talking about where the money got lost, and then it's a Shaila of Yachloiku, to which we answer that it's not a Kasha because they both own the area.
But if the money's there, what are we splitting? Either the loan is due, the loan is not due.
No, the answer is that
all of it belongs to somebody.
Right, so according to the Mordechai, what's going to end up happening over here is that we're going to view it as part of the loan was paid up, and part of it was not paid up. So if I owe you half of what the original loan was, and the other half was considered paid.
But why should the Malva lose?
Yeah, okay. Echlami. It's a bad deal for the Malva. Well, yeah, same thing what happened the other.
Has a star. Money's sitting right there.
But he's not losing.
He's not losing. He's just going to get it. He's going to get it later. He'll get it later. He's going to have to wait another till the loan's up. Half now and half later. Yeah, if he wants to invest it, he's going to lose. Right. If he wants to, you know, go to Vegas or whatever. But right now, he can't get the money. So learns the Marshal. So the Karban Nisanal points out that something is very funny over here. I mean, Svek the Karban Nisanal, it comes out that the Machloikas Amaroyim, he says over here, number 9, says the Karban Nisanal, Ula hanocha zu divri ha-mashor b'divri ha-maschel mechta mechta tarachin. Ki eichecho nuchaloy mede rabba v'Rabbi Yosef v'Rabbi Yochanan mechulokim b'girsas ha-mishnah. Again, we mentioned earlier that the girsa of the Mishnah is the basis for the machloikis rishonim. So it means we have a machloikis ha-maroyim into what the girsa of a Mishnah was. Karban Nisanal thinks that's very strange. The whole machloikis rishonim of Rashi and the Mordechai hinges on a girsa in the Mishnah. If you have the word Zaycha Hamalva or the word Zaycha Alev. And now you tell me that was Gufa Machlikas Hamaroyim into how to learn the Girsa of the Mishnah? Karban Nisanal thinks that's a little far-fetched to believe that that's going to be the great Machlikas between Rabba, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to be totally in the Girsa of the Mishnah to whether or not you can learn Nevad versus the money's bent. So he doesn't like this pshat. The Ktzai says two other kashes on this Marsha. First of all, the Ktzai says is that if the Gemara was going according to Rabbi Yochanan, what was the whole kasha and teretz? What's a kasha with it? What's a kasha? What's a teretz? Well, if you tell me the money's be'en, so there's no question. If the money's be'en, then there's no question about my smicha v'el avaraya. What was the question? What was the answer? Secondly, asked Tzais, if Rabbi Yochanan is going to be learning that we're talking about a case over here that the money got lost, why can't Rabbi Yochanan just learn like Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? You tell me now it's split. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef learned the Gemara this way, Rabbi Yochanan learned it this way. Frankly, Tzais, why does it have to be that way? I understand why Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef learned it the way they do, because they have no other choice. So why can't Rabbi Yochanan learn like them also? Why can't Rabbi Yochanan also learn we're talking about a case where the money gets lost? Why is Rabbi Yochanan locked into talking about in Rashi? Why can't Rabbi Yochanan learn like the Mordechai? Why is Rabbi Yochanan be the odd man out that he's stuck to learn the Gemara like Rashi while everyone else runs away and learns like the Mordechai and doesn't have taste with his kasha? Why can't Rabbi Yochanan do the exact same thing? That's the kasha of the Ktzos. So come along the Ktzos with a gewaldige chab. The Ktzos is this, Venira, number 11. Venira, the sweet lady with Rabbi Yochanan, al korcha ktzach lefarish ba'avarachoyf. Rabbi Yochanan has to learn like Rashi. In Rabbi Yochanan, you have no other way of learning the Gemara. Again, what was Mashal's Cheshm? Mashal's Cheshm was, in Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, you're going to tell me you have to learn like the Mordechai. So if you learn like Rashi, you have Amitz Mechavel of Arayiv Kashas. But in Rabbi Yochanan, I have much more freedom. In Rabbi Yochanan, I can always learn like he's like Rashi. So in fact, it says, I don't understand. Why does he tell me everyone else is learning like the Mordechai? So throw Rabbi Yochanan into the Mordechai's chat also. You don't have to, but why is he going to have to be now different than everyone else? Let the Rabbi Yochanan learn that Karev Law means able to watch it, and we're talking about a case where the money got lost, and you have no cash, just like you do for Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. Says it says you don't have the flexibility in Rabbi Yochanan. Why not? Says it says Gevaldik Achap. He says, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, how does Rabbi Yochanan work? He works with this magic called Karev Law. What's that magic? Says it says the Bishlam Karev Bedal Ramis Im Kain Shabim Metzino Farish Teches Manik Ushelo Yehaloi Yochal Achzer. He says Bishlam, if you don't like Rav, that working Dal Ramis is a real thing. Is kinda. It's kind of a get, it's kind of a mitzvah, it's kind of a aveda. So you could tell me that the case was talking about I threw the money to the malveh 2 days earlier than I needed to, and the din is that the malveh is still kind of the money, because that's Dal Ramas is a real area. Kivin the Kvazacha, Malveh, Dal Ramas. Avlo Rabbi Yochanan, the Mary Karoiv, Biyachal, the Shamroi, Vizay, any other beginning of the Kedushin. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have the flexibility. Rabbi Yochanan can never have a case in his head where I threw the money 2 days before the loan was due and the malveh claimed the money because he was able to guard it. Able to guard it is not a kinyan for chayv. It's only a kinyan for getting the kedushin. So you'll ask me, so 1 second. So how does Rabbi Yochanan even know the Mishnah? Because he can't pay a chayv early. So how do you ever pay for chayv? Says the Ktzos. Well, how does it work? So he says over here, it works with mechila. Then came Bishlam a liftor haloyiv and mahani b'taris mechila, kibin the amar zoreki b'taris gittin. If the malveh says to like, listen, throw me the money like you would a get, which means work the rules of get, which means yachal l'shamroi. So the tzais learns that although when I throw the money to the malveh, I never really paid up the malveh because I never put the money in his rishos. I as the loyiv imparted because he was meichel. That's how the tzais learns. There's no real tashlumin. There's no such thing called dalat. There's no such thing called yachal b'shamri for chayv. Either the Mishnah says it works, so it says that's because the malveh decides to be meichelit. That's the malveh's way of saying I don't care what happens. Therefore, says the says that's all fine when you're actually paying up a chayv. But if you're talking about paying up the chayv before it's due, and you want to decide to pay it up early, the malveh's not being meichel anything. The malveh's is not ready for it yet. So therefore, you have no right to throw the money to me. So there's no way you could be telling me that you made a perayin teich zman. The only case that's possible in a Yochanan's world is when you made up a regular perayin and then the money got lost. Therefore, says the Ktzos, in a Yochanan's world, you can only learn like Rashi. You don't have the flexibility to learn like the Mordechai. Therefore, says the Ktzos, that's why Rabbi Yochanan in the Mashah only goes according to Rashi, and he can't go like the Mordechai. That's why he's the Ktzos.
That's
a
big kimp in the Mishnah.
So we're going to see in a second. It's really more in the Gemara. We'll have to see when we get there.
And maybe Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have a lundus of kafama by.
But the Mishnah says.
It works by different lundus. By get.
Okay, good. Wait, see a second. The Pnei Yeshua is going to discuss Hashem Shana in a second. The Pnei Yeshua comes along with a whole different take on the kasha. Okay, what was the kasha? Kasha is why don't we say Amoitz Mechavel Varai? What happened to Amoitz Mechavel Varai? So comes along the Pnei Yeshua with a Gavalda Gachap. He said like this. Well, the news died in Nira. The need the merchza al merchza to get the mukilah b'shteki to edim in a chenami. When it came to get, we learned that merchza al merchza meant two groups of edim. Hainu mishum, you know why? Why did we learn like that? Shum the loshin merchza al merchza mashma shasofik hulagabi habezdin. Because merchza al merchza didn't sound like, you know, Marshal didn't learn like this, but the Yeshua was saying merchza al merchza didn't sound like it was a physical question, closer, this closer, angle, and distances and measurements. It sounded like it was a halachic sofik. He answered, not like that. And you can't learn that we're talking about where we share the Eidamis and there's an overlap. Why? You'd have Ogid Gabe problems. Says the Pnei Yeshua, but when it comes to Chayv, we have much more flexibility in to learn the case. Meaning, Lehepach, the Pnei Yeshua thinks that to learn in Rabbi Rabbi Yosef's world, to learn that we're talking about Mechza Mechza, Shtekit Eidim is not the Pshat in the Mishnah. That's not the way Rabbi Rabbi Yosef would have learned Mechza Mechza when it came to Chayv. How would they learn it? Says the Pnei Yeshua that even Rabbah would learn that when it comes to Mechza Mechza by Chayiv, it's not a case of Trei Kite Eidim. It's a case of eight Amos where we share one of the Amos. Oh, we share the Amos, it's a Rishus, that's both of us. That's why it's Shnei Mechleku. So the Pnei Yeshua is saying over here that although when it came to the Gittin part of the Mishnah, we learned it as Trei U'Trei, and now you have a Kasha, Trei U'Trei, Amos Mechel Avarai, says the Pnei Yeshua, that's not the way he learned the end of the Mishnah. Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef learned the Mishnah of Chayiv differently than they learned the Mishnah of Gittin V'Kedushin. By Gittin V'Kedushin, the Mechza Mechza was Trei Kite Eidim. When it came to the mominous part of the Mishnah, when it came to Mechza Mechza, didn't mean that there was conflicting reports from the Edom. Because then Tosfos is right. Two conflicting reports from the Edom, you'd say, Amoitz Mechavel Varaya. Says the Pnei Yeshua, because Tosfos learned in Rabbi Yochanan, and now we're talking about a case where it's joint. It's a Chatzah Shal Shneim. Oh, Chatzah Shal Shneim, it's Pashi, do Yachalik. Therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, you wouldn't have Tosfos' Kasha. Okay. One last Kasha is the Rashba. The Rashba comes along over here, number 13, and he asks, similarly to the Mordechai. Hiksha Rebbe Rabbeinu Lachanan. Im Kain, Hodik Toni Le'inyin HaChoyv, Mechza Ametza Yachloiku. It says in the Mishnah that it's a case of Mechza Ametza is Yachloiku, Hainu Nami, B'shtei Ki Deidim. So the Rashba is assuming that in Rabbah Rabbi Yosef, not like the Pnei Yeshua, it means two groups of Eidim. V'ama Yachloiku. Why should we divide the money? Adi Rabbah. Have it on the Meimah, Uki Trei, Le'bahadi Trei. Let the money stay by the original owner. The Hainu, that would be the loyfe. Basically, a moitz mechavel of a rai. You see from the Rashba learned like Rashi, not like the Mordechai. If you learn like the Mordechai, it's not a question of being moitzi from anyone. So clearly, the Rashba learned like the.
Is there a cheskes more common by money?
That was the money that was distributed.
And plus the Malva has a
star. Oh. He says, so let's see the Rashba's kasha. The tirtzu b'taisvis, no one knows where this taisvis is, it's not our taisvis. The hocha l'tshuravayu islu chazok. Says the Rashba, each one has a compelling argument why they're right. The Malva ikal meimar, okay, aches kasei. The Malva has a right because he said, listen, you definitely owe me money. There's no debating that. Shu mechayiv loy, you owe me money. You have what's called the vada hischayivis. Before all this started, you owed me money. There's no question. We all agree you owe me money. So that's why the Malva should win. Says the Rashba, and the Loive has on his side saying, well, I'm by Tzimichel Avarai. Therefore, says the Rashba, therefore, Hilkach Yechloiku. The Rashba learns that the suffix of the Gemara is because we have conflicting reports of what to do. On one end, we have the din of saying the loive is pot. On the other hand, we have a vada chiyuv of the loan. So we have conflicting reports. What do? Says the Rashba. You split it. Frek the Rashba. V'im toimar ade Rabba. Frek the Rashba. One second. I just got myself into big trouble over here. If I'm right that you have a pre-existing ischaivus, and now I'm debating whether or not I took it off. There's another Gemara. The Gemara says, if I admit that I borrowed money from you, meaning, I admit that I definitely owe you money, but, I don't remember if I paid you back. What's the din? Says the Rashba, Shu Chayef. So, Frank the Rashba, that's exactly what's going on over here. One second, let's just get it out. Says the Rashba over here, the Malva saying to the Levi, you agree you owe me money. Agreed. Everyone agrees, yes. I owe you money. We're now debating, was there a payment? Yes, no. Did you pay me? Didn't you pay me? Frank the Rashba, that's exactly a case of any day in Praticha. And any day in Praticha, the Gemara says, you're Chayiv. So here also, you should be Chayiv. What's the suffix? So Frank the Rashba.
Does the Lova have a witness in this case?
You have witnesses, but it's not going to get us anywhere because no one knows what really happened. Right? It's impossible to prove it. So the Yeshloimer answers the Rashba, the Shani Hassam, the Leker Raglaim Shaparu. In a normal case, any temperaticha, no one knows anything. There's nothing. The Rashba says this is somewhat different. This is not stam, you know, I have no idea if I paid you, and there's no reason to assume I did pay you. Over here, it's very possible I paid you, because bifaneinu, we're debating that. Yeah. It's not like I'm denying that I tried to pay you, I attempted to make a payment, I'm not even sure if this is a payment. Therefore, it's not in any damn pratich. Frektik tzois, he says, I don't understand. There's a big machlokes with shayin, what's pshat, in the case of any damn praticha, why am I chayif? One of the basic ways of learning it is, it's coupled with the fact of bari v'shem. Because what happens? The malv is a bari. I know for sure you owe me money. The loiv is a shema. Maybe I paid you, maybe I didn't pay you. So we have a rule, bari v'shema, bari yadav. Nothing to talk about. So that's why any day in praticha, I lose. Frektik tzais, what's going on in our case? In our case, is the malv a bari that he got paid? Nope. Everyone's a Shema of a Shema. It's a Shema across the board. No one knows anything.
No, he claimed his bari.
How can he claim a bari? He doesn't know that it wasn't paid back. In a normal...
The Mahal thinks he didn't get paid.
But he's a Shema. But it's a Shema. He doesn't know for sure he didn't get paid back. There's no way he can know.
He has two Aiden that say he did. But that's, the other guy has two Aiden that said he paid.
So that should be... That's not a Shema of a Shema.
The only bari here is that he made the loan.
That's the whole problem.
But that's not a halachic bari. Bari means I'm sure of what I did. I can't say with certainty. I don't know for sure where the money dropped. So Frektik Tzai is...
There's two Aiden are sure. They may be wrong, but they're...
But that doesn't give it a status of... I don't assume that's not a Bari. Bari means according to my claim. Again, we have to talk... Why is it that Bari V'Shem Bari Yadav? Stamazay. Why is it that way? This is not for now. We never got a chance to talk about this in Gittin Mekedushin. Why is Bari V'Shem Bari Yadav? Why is it? So most people assume it's because, you know, it's a compelling argument. You know, if you're for sure, and I'm a suffix, so in a court of law, the one who's certain sounds better. So, you know, my Rebbe used to say over the Pshat and Bari V'Shem Bari Yadav is different. He thinks the Pshat is, everyone has an obligation to answer back a claim. If I make a claim, you have to counterclaim. If you can't counterclaim, by definition, you lose. Right. It's because the way it works in the court is that everyone makes a claim, and everyone has to defend the claim. If I make a claim that you owe me money, and you say, well, maybe I paid you back, you never answered my claim. You never defended your stand of it. So mainly you lose.
Well, you defended it.
That's not a defense.
Okay. You said, maybe. You didn't say nothing.
And he implicitly admitted that the law...
Exactly. You never answered back the claim that I made. I made a claim you owe me money. Yes, maybe I do. Okay. So maybe it's not an answer to a claim. So I'm the one who's standing with the claim, therefore I win. So if that's the pshat over here, so frek the tzais, over here they're all shemas. So the tzai says maybe not. Maybe it's a right to the sheet of the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech says that if it's only, you need to be a bari when you're supposed to be a bari. When you're supposed to know what's going on, then you need to know what's going on. But over here, I can't be better than Adam, don't know what's going on. So therefore over here, since I don't know what's going on, it's not my fault, Zok the tzai, it's okay to be a Shem of a Shem, and we would still use the rules of...
No. Neither of them know what's going on.
No, but that was the Rashba's answer. The Rashba's answer was, since there is, I raise a Neulat Safik Lefanenu, even though, again, normally we would have followed the rules of Vadei Chayev Deloive. It's amazing, we switched to all over. First we start assuming the Leiva should be completely Pater because of Mezbech of Araya. Then the Rashba says the Leiva should be completely Chayev because of Enid and Pratich. Now the Rashba says, no, because since the Neulat Safik Lefanenu, we don't know if there was a payment, so it goes back to the regular rules of Yachloiku, and therefore we're going to give it a regular status of Yachloiku, and that's Pshan the Mishnah of why they are Yachloiku. Okay, enough Chayesh Mishpat. Next week we'll move on to see a third Pshat in the Gemara of what Karev Law means, and how that's going to work into everything we've been learning about.